From EAA Air Venture Convention Grounds in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, we welcome you to this evening's live broadcast of Theater in the Woods. Sit back and enjoy an evening with Bert Rutan as he presents Looking Back at 50 Years of Flight Test with his longtime Rutan Aircraft Factory and Scaled Composites Associate Test Pilot Mike Melville. Tonight's program host is former ABC Good Morning America anchor David Hartman. Before that, it's the annual presentation of the Bill Barber Award for Air Showmanship presented by World Air Show News Magazine. This year's honored recipient is Bob Carlton of Vertigo Air Shows. Enjoy the show on EAA Radio.
The most creative designer in the world. So that's where we'll start. Welcome our three panelists. Mike Melville, one of the world's most experienced and finest test pilots. He is the sole or joint holder of 9 aviation world records. In 2004, he piloted Bert Rutan's Spaceship One, past the edge of space, and was the first civilian to receive commercial astronaut wings. That was the first. That was the first privately funded human space flight mission. He made 2 more flights in Spaceship One. Welcome, Mike Melville. Mike.
Thank you, sir.
Dick Rutan, the younger brother, the younger ones of the Rutans.
Better looking one.
A little bit about Dick. He spent his life also, of course, with airplanes, flying in combat, breaking international records, flying his brother Bert's, numerous designed airplanes. Dick flew 325 missions in the F-100 as a MISTI pilot in Southeast Asia. He is highly decorated among his many honors, 5 DFCs, Distinguished Flying Crosses, Silver Star, Purple Heart, 16 Air Medals, and a lot more. He was shot down and ejected from his F-100 in Southeast Asia. And many years later, he and Gina Yeager set the world record, as you all know, flying Bert's design Voyager nonstop, unrefueled, around the world, 3 days and nights in the flying phone booth. He holds a lot of other records in Bert's Long Easy. So that's Dick Rutan. And the older brother, Bert, of course, the most respected airplane designer in the world. For over 45 years, he has created 367 individual aircraft concepts. 45 of those actually flew. 5 of his aircraft are on display at Smithsonian Air and Space, Spaceship One, the Virgin Atlantic Global Flyer, Voyager, Quickie, and Very Easy. He was inducted in the National Aviation Hall of Fame in 1995. 6 years later, Time named him one of the most influential people in the world. He was designated a living legend of aviation, receiving the Bob Hoover Freedom of Flight Award. He resigned in 2010 from Scaled Composites, which he had created. Doug Shane took over as president and referred to Bert as the legendary aircraft design genius of the world, Bert Rutan.
Wow. Thank you. Younger. I'll have to say, you want us to sit next to you, right?
No, you're fine. You're fine.
Well, let's come over next to David. That's good. Younger. Well, I think the reason that he looks younger is he's taken a lot better care of himself than I have.
Now, to what extent does this suggest that you have not, Bert? And if you haven't, how do you feel about the fact that you did?
I damn near killed myself getting my new airplane here, and I failed. So I'm probably looking pretty tired tonight.
Dick, do you have anything to say about that? Or?
He speaks for himself.
Oh, okay. Hey, Mike.
There was a guy that came in today. I was giving my talk in Form 7, and a guy walked in, and he ducked underneath, and he looked around, and he says, is Bert Rutan here? And I was standing right next to him, and he says, oh, no, this is not. And I says, well, I used to sleep with him. Does that count?
Mike.
Yeah.
it's awfully hard to follow Dick when he does things like that.
Yeah.
Mike, describe from a creative point of view, pioneering point of view, describe Berg and what he's done.
Well, I tell you, he was the best boss that I've ever had in my life. I worked for Bert for 32 years, and he made me pretty much who I am today and why everybody seems to know who I am. It was because of Bert Rutan. Well, he's a fabulous guy, and everyone should know it.
Dick, describe your brother.
You know, the two brothers probably could not be more different. See, when parents have siblings, there's two siblings, and there's only a certain amount of intelligent quotient between all of them. And Bert got a better share of that than I did. And I had to make up for it it was classic different. Bert was the pimply-haired pocket protector, slide rule guy that was had his head in books designing things. And his other older brother had a Elvis Presley haircut, and his dirty Levi's hung under the last hair on his what?
He also had a velvet arm.
And a velvet arm. And riding motorcycles and throwing toilet paper out over the Friday night football games. And so that's the two differences between the one of them and the better looking one.
Yeah, but what you're just learning tonight is I used to borrow your motorcycle when you were gone.
Bert, all these airplanes you've designed, when did this start? This is a serious question. When did this start? How old were you when something happened to you that it was airplanes and it was engineering and whatever?
Tell you something that I don't remember because I was young. I got to tell you something that I was told. You know, when you're a certain age, right, your parents will say, "This is what you did." And I'll tell you that. First of all, I think one of the reasons that I became an airplane designer was that I was brought up in a very religious family with a lot of religion restrictions. I was brought up as a Seventh-day Adventist. So our family, we couldn't go to movies. The girls couldn't wear lipstick. We couldn't work on the Sabbath, and I couldn't go to games on Friday night or Saturday, so I couldn't do any sports when I was in high school. So I kind of reached out for something else to do, and one of the things that I did was the church had a version of Boy Scouts, and it was called Pathfinders. And I built this airplane. And I don't know why I did it, but it was, it looked like a 707, but it was done before the 707.
Of course.
It was just a model airplane.
Duh.
And I took it to this competition, and I won. As a child, I won this thing for creativity or whatever it was for. It was a badge that you have, like a Boy Scout badge. Right. And for some reason, it clicked on me that it's really cool to win something, and these other guys around here didn't win it. And because I couldn't go out to movies or sports games and whatever, I focused throughout years where kids are usually doing things that teenagers do. I focused by building model airplanes and winning trophies by begging a ride to go to these contests from a guy who ran the local hobby store. And he would take several of us kids and drive 4 hours up to the San Francisco Bay Area every 2 weeks, and I'd come home with these trophies. It was all control line, you know, we didn't have radio control in those days. And I was racking up these trophies, and to me, that was the greatest thing in the world. And I never ever thought about being a dentist. My dad was a dentist. I helped him in the lab. You know, I used to play with mercury, and I used to do all kinds of things. But I'll let Dick talk about what the folks let us do because he knows more about that. But bottom line, I got focused on a singular thing, and that is to win. And I knew that I would go to college and learn to be an airplane designer, and I wasn't going to be anything else.
You know, that our parents gave us a tremendous gift. And it was, they were not protective. They kind of had the attitude is that we gave you two guys life, and there's the world, and you can make of it what you want to do. And we were pretty wild and did some pretty wild stuff, and I can't ever remember being chewed out or somebody telling me I need to have a helmet or don't do this because it's dangerous and the farmers are mad because you're buzzing and running their cows off. Never got in trouble, and I noticed that. But the thing is that the encouragement that both parents found out what they were interested in. Mom took Bert to a hobby store, and she says, hey, we're going to pick out any kit you want to build. And he says, I don't want any darn kit. Give me the balsa wood, and I want to build my own. Okay, that was a genesis of that. And of course, the older brother, the risque guy and the motorcycle rider, he wanted to fly airplanes and do wild stuff and get chased by the cops down Grape Rose. I found out that the cops would chase me out of town, and I could go in my motorcycle down a grape row, and it was too narrow for the cop cars to get down.
Well, I remember an important thing is we weren't protected like children are nowadays. I told you I played with mercury. Well, we played with rusty nails. We played with everything. I remember when the police brought me home in the middle of the night. Because Dick and I didn't live in the house. It was a two-bedroom house, and there was a garage with a woodshed out and back, and Pop had converted this woodshed into a small bedroom where Dick and I slept. And so it was pretty easy to sneak out, you know. Now, I won't tell you what I did, but the police brought me
tell
home.
Us. Tell us what you
and
did.
And I didn't know what to expect from my dad because it was the very first time that the police brought me home.
Did they bring you home to the woodshed or did they take you to the house?
Well, they came to the front door of the house, which nobody ever used. And you know, Pop looked at me and he says, well, I guess you've learned your lesson. And he went back to bed. And he never once scolded me for doing something that required the police to grab me and bring me home. And that was weird. And I appreciated that.
That's right. I thought I was going to be in trouble a whole bunch of times. And we would be out way late at night, necking in a car by some girlfriend's house, and Poppy would finally find us. And I said, oh boy, I'm in trouble now. And he says, okay, come on, get in the car. And I get in the car, and he looked at me, and he says, hey, how do you like my new car? What? I'm supposed to be in big trouble here. Now, but the freedom that they did give us, anything you were interested in, it was encouragement. And that kind of freedom. You know, I was a parent later on, and I thought about protecting my children. All parents want to do that. And I can't imagine what they felt like, just turning them loose to do anything they want to. And I think that particular freedom was really invaluable to the development of these two guys.